The Ryan Reese Show from Southern California. This is The Ryan Reese Show. Post your questions using @RyanReese on his Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook. Are you ready?
Do you recognize that, Katie?
Yes, I do.
So I have Katie Mayer in studio right now. Currently on your host on K-Wave.
Right.
But prior to that, you were actually a host on many other stations, K-Rock,
yes.
Loveline,
yes.
Rings a Bell. It's very current. Funny story about Loveline. Sean McKee, my other co-host,
yes.
That's on the show, and when he comes in, when he surfaces every once in a while, he actually called into Loveline when we were young. We were in high school. You know, we were a bunch of stoners and, you know, the whole thing and getting drunk, and we were like, call in Loveline, and he called in and he asked a very naughty, naughty question.
They mostly were naughty.
They were. It was very naughty. Yes, yes. And they were just kind of, you know, we were all just laughing. And now, funny enough, here we go.
Yeah.
Moving forward, he's actually on a radio show talking about Jesus,
right?
And what God can do with someone,
yes.
That is so far gone, like me and my friends, and then circle back, and here we are. You know, just bringing the light into the darkness. And I know that you have a story that I want to hear. And I thought it was exciting. I don't even know how. I think it was Brian Perez, maybe, or someone contacted, or maybe you contacted us or something, because from there was an email chain or something. And I just heard about you and what you've done in your past, and now how you've had a full circle and you're here on Christian Radio. I thought it would be amazing to actually bring you in here in studio and let people know what God can do with someone's life when they fully surrender.
Well, I'm glad to be here. I haven't told my story really about K-Rock over 30 years ago. It's just something that I don't talk about. I mean, every once in a while it'll eke out that, you know, I've worked at 7 other radio stations,
yeah.
17 years in heavy metal, Bakersfield, Fresno, KNAC, Long Beach. But I was at the world famous K-Rock, 107.6, you know, at the heyday, the
yeah.
world famous K-Rock. I mean, it was just, it was happening.
Yeah.
I mean, at any movie that was out, the actors and actresses would come to the station, drugs everywhere. We were the hottest. Of course, people from your high school and people all over want, Kate, you're on K-Rock. I need tickets for this. I mean, you really think that you're something,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you get paid for it.
Well, yeah, it's Los Angeles.
Right.
I mean,
in the
80s,
LA, mid-80s.
K-Rock. I mean,
right.
They're still dominating in the radio world as far
right.
as even all the – my favorite concert to go to is
right.
the it's the, what they do at the Forum every year. It's the Christmas, Acoustic Christmas.
Right.
But now it's at the Forum.
Right.
And it's just amazing. I've
it
always
is.
Loved that. I've always had a love for K-Rock. I grew up listening to it. So it's awesome to
right.
to have you here. But you weren't always at K-Rock.
No.
Did
no.
you? Did you? Where'd you grow up? Did you grow up in Bakersfield? Or?
No, actually born and raised in San Pedro.
San Pedro,
and
okay.
this is – I'm going to try and just kind of bring you up to speed. How do you get into that business?
Yeah.
I was actually supposed to be a nurse, you know, going to school. And
Were you even religious or no, anything growing
no,
up?
A single, you... No. Single mom, raised, no religion.
Got it.
And so that makes it even more a little bit interesting why I work at a Christian radio station right now. But I actually had a fake ID, and I went to a local restaurant that had a disco. I was still in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I met Dick Shepherd, who is Richard Blade, and we actually started dating, and we fell.
You
in
dated Richard Blade. That is comedy.
For live with we, it's very yeah. Now they're going. Now we get it. She slept her way into the business, and I, you know what? He was cute. I was young, so. Really, we did mobile DJs all over Michael Jackson's Off the Wall tour in Beverly Hills. We were mobile DJs.
That's amazing.
Yes.
Yeah. Because you guys would do like live feed in, right?
Yeah. So anyway, and then we lived together for 4 years. And then he said, you know, I was in radio in England and I want to get to a radio in Los Angeles. And with his British accent, they really didn't like it. So we actually, this is a great story. We moved to Bakersfield because a heavy metal radio station, Magic 98, hired him. And then he said, my girlfriend's been on radio. That was a lie. she can do overnights. And so we were a team playing Judas Priest AC/DC. So yeah, we're in radio.
Oh my gosh.
So anyway, so just to fast forward, then we broke up, but I went to Fresno KKDJ. He went, you know, the coast, but we're always friends, Richard and I.
Yeah.
Always, I think he felt guilty because he dropped me. Huh. But KNDC Long Beach, but he gets a gig at K-Rock doing mornings, okay?
Right.
And he says to me, this is the ultimate. Kate, you know, you can work at the world famous K-Rock, but they're looking for a receptionist. And it's just like, no, you got to remember this. I was a program director, music director. I had done evenings, afternoons. I did mornings. I was actually getting quite professional.
Right.
I mean, in the world of broadcasting, you want me to answer phones. This is major step down.
Yeah, totally.
But it's K-Rock.
Right.
So you do what you do, right?
Exactly. You got to get in the door.
So there, I got in the door.
And I think that's going to be encouraging for a lot of people because sometimes people are like, well, I've done this and this. I belong here.
Right. But sometimes your dues.
Exactly. You got to pay your dues. Sometimes you just got to get in the door. And if truly you're good at what you've said you've done, then those doors will open and you will advance. But you just got to get in the door sometimes.
But he said you should buy the program direction of drugs. And I said, there's one thing I don't do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't sleep with anyone to get a job, and I don't buy them drugs. If I'm going to buy drugs, I'll do them. So, and I hope my kids aren't listening. But anyway, no, I just never did that. But I did get to do a weekend shift at K-Rock and then got to do a full shift. But that's the K-Rock
connection. So that's how the door opened. Just got to do it, sub in, and then it just it was on.
Weekends and on. But I don't – the listeners that are listening right now, I don't want to paint this as a like, oh, I want to do that now. I'm glad it happened. I learned things, but a dark, unhappy – people died, drugs. I look back on it now, and it's just like the Lord actually spared me is what I'm saying.
I want to jump in this because we do have some time. So during this – time of this stuff happening, what was the scene like with the drugs and with the alcohol? Not necessarily you, but just like, what was the scene? I mean, was it, this is the 80s, right?
Right.
So, I mean, this is Motley Crue.
Right.
This is like, you know, all the crazy hairband stuff.
Right.
And it's just wild. I mean, it was from the videos and stuff that you're watching, it looked pretty insane. I mean, this stuff was happening.
Right.
At the studio.
There's a lot of drugs, a lot of cocaine. And at the same time,
that was a thing back then, huh?
Actually, Richard Blade had a VH1 and he had a video beat. And I actually did some television with him. And I just thought came to me right now. I remember, you know, I've got my Madonna 80s look with my big hair.
That's
right. You know, and the light, like kind of like this, you know. Mm. And I, Billy Idol's on the show, you know. And I was touching up his makeup or doing something. And his big old chunk of cocaine hanging out of his nose.
No
and
way.
So it's just like, oh, I got to take out a chunk of cocaine from Billy Idol's nose. And it's like, all I'm just saying, I look back on it now and it's just like.
The 80s were crazy.
It was cool. It was fun from the outside.
Of course.
Anyone listening right now is like, wow. You know, it's just like you're at the hottest radio station. You're on television. You get paid to do this. But the underlying.
Yes. Let's talk about that.
We got to talk about like no one was happy. No one was married. No one, anyone, even in management, no one divorced and drugs and alcohol and a lot of backbiting. And because of the massive egos, you have to have confidence to be on the radio or television. Mm. I mean, you do. We have God confidence. We know who we are in Christ. But like, it was all about come see me at Mr. J's and they pay you cash and there's mud wrestling and it's you felt like when you're on the air you had to promote yourself and come see me and it's all about me and it's like and then it's very vindictive, like even towards the end someone wants your shift, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just like, poor man, God bless you, but man, he wanted my shift.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had a really good shift. I could like go to the beach or sunbathe all day long. I did a 6 to 9 shift that I could go to a nightclub at night. I had the life. I had a perfect life. And then poor man says, I want the 6 to 9 shift and Kate can get the other shift. And management listened to poor man. And I said, because of my ego, do we talk ego here?
Yep.
My little feelings got hurt. And I said, I'll show them.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was Pirate Radio across the way.
Pirate Radio,
here it comes.
1003.
Yeah,
3.
Well, guess what's on that now? K-Love in Los Angeles.
Oh,
it's
really?
A Christian radio station. God redeems. But anyway, Pirate Radio, Scott Shannon, oh, if I didn't have a big enough head already, he says to me, Kate, You've got one of the best voices I've heard. Hello. Look at Lucas is looking at me like, it's all right. But anyway, it's like, I want you to be my sidekick. And I'll pay, he's making $3 million,
yeah.
Right? And I'll pay you just, and I go, me leave K-Rock and go over to Pirate. First of all, I didn't like the music. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it was new, you know, Scott yeah. Shannon from New York, a big yeah. deal. And I was called into my boss's office and he said, Kate, you know, you'd be making more money than me. He said, but if you leave, you can't come back. And what does greedy Kate do?
Get the money.
Get the money. So guess what? I did. And guess what? I was the highest paid weather girl in Los Angeles. He didn't let, here was a, we owned our own studio. It was like a spaceship on the top of the CNN building, like the ninth floor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you feel like you've arrived,
yeah,
you're not going to LA.
Yeah,
you're
totally.
Just Hollywood. Anyway, but he wouldn't let me really talk. I wasn't his co-host. I was literally, here's Kate with the weather.
Really?
Morning low clouds, highs in the 70s, overnight lows in the, you know? I mean, and I thought if they want to pay me $10,000 a month, this is way uh-huh. back then.
Uh-huh. That's a lot of money back in the
80s. To do that, then okay, I'll do that. All that to say, wait till you see the chip on my shoulder. I walk into Scott Shannon's office. Oh, my gosh. And I say, I quit. He looked at me. And he goes, you can't quit. You're on contract. And I go, watch me. And I walk out. Now, this is just ego, money.
Yeah.
Have I painted a picture of who Katie Manor
yep.
was?
Yep.
And here I am serving the Lord as an intercessor at my church, raising three godly kids. One's, I'll tell you about that later on because of your book, I'm in trouble with him. But just knowing that God plucked me from that business. And now my vow to the Lord was this personality, this voice will not be used to serve the enemy of my soul. It's I'm on fire for him and I have been.
Okay. Yes. And that's amazing. So I want to hear, though,
yeah,
how
why?
You got out of it. So
how
you quit.
I got out of it.
What happened? I mean, it wasn't like you just became a Christian overnight. There was a process.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
What was the
you want to know the process.
What was the process of how you even found God?
Okay. Well,
because, honestly, I want to speak into this. Because when you're living this life of where you have access, you know, I've talked about okay. it in my book. I talk about it on the show a lot. When you have access to the who's parties, the Hollywood
right.
Hill parties, the after parties,
right.
The backstage, pretty much, you know, whatever you want around the world, wherever you go in the globe, mm-hmm. the doors are open to everything. And that is a very interesting life to be living.
Right.
And most people can't understand, they can't comprehend because it's like a dream thing. But when you're in there, it's really hard to walk away, even though you're empty.
Okay.
Even though you're not happy with the way life circumstances are, even though you have a bunch of money and all these different things, you're just so tied. It's almost like you're attached or addicted to the lifestyle mm-hmm. of it, right? They're like, oh yeah, that's so and so from, you know, and you just people, everyone's your friend. Everyone's your friend. You could pretty much get away with whatever you want to do. You could do whatever you want to do, and that's pretty much it. So what was the process of God getting a hold of you, bringing you down to planet Earth, showing you who you really are, and then the process coming, you know, through that?
Thank you, because that's what...
The crossroads, basically.
Right. Well, I find when I listen to people's testimonies that God always brings pain. Mm-hmm. To get you where he wants. And so, okay, now I'm in San Diego because I was only working part-time at K-Rock. And now I, believe it or not, I got on my knees and I wasn't a believer, but you know how you kind of pray sometimes. Oh, I got fired at K-Rock. Yeah, I got fired because one New Year's, someone came to the back door, brought drugs in, and boss found out, even though everyone else was doing the same thing, I got fired from K-Rock. So San Diego 91X morning show team hires me. Now I'm on a four-year contract making money, but I'm driving down to Mexico, border radio.
All the way to the border, yeah.
I'm going to tell you what happened was. Now I'm making very good money, very secure, and kind of like the morning show team is kind of, they get to go everywhere. So watch this. I was, here's the opening up the soul here, had an eating disorder.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty bad. No one knew about it, even my roommate. I drank. I did drugs. I had to do drugs because getting up at that time in the morning.
Eating disorder.
Yes, so I was bulimic.
You just don't eat or you
throw
up.
No, well, yeah. I was I don't know if you I'm always a little bit heavier. Always a little bit heavier than every woman wants to be thinner. Mm-hmm. And being in the public eye and stuff like that, I had some image problems.
Yeah, yeah.
And anyone that knows anything about eating disorders, and I know there are people listening and watching right now
it's
that can
thing.
Relate mm-hmm. of all ages.
Oh, yeah.
It's a control issue of emotions that we can't process. Mm-hmm. And so you eat and you overeat and then you purge. And
right.
it's really despicable to even talk about right mm-hmm. now, but it's very common. I didn't do laxatives. I didn't do drugs. Mm-hmm. But it's like I was addicted. I mean, I couldn't stop.
Yeah.
And so it was my secret sin.
Yeah. Yeah.
So drugs, alcohol, that. And then relational, you might just say, Kate, well, you know, I had a boyfriend that told me he loved me, so I had money. So you say, Kate, I bought the lie, mm-hmm. Ryan, the same lie that you bought mm-hmm. from culture, mm-hmm. which is get the cool job, gotta be cool.
Yeah.
Get the girl, or in my case, the guy.
Right.
The money. The things, the car, the clothes, the bought a house, that equals happiness.
Yes, that's the lie.
And you and I know that that's a big lie. Mm-hmm. So I got all those things and I finally said to myself one day at La Jolla with my steamed eggs in San Diego, I said, I am miserable and I can take my car and drive off this cliff right now. Okay? So what had happened was that I remembered that someone had sent the station a cassette about the power team. Christian weightlifters that went to different churches and did these feats of breaking wood in half.
Yeah, yeah.
And we all laughed at these people, and we actually bulked the cassette tape, and we're laughing and laughing about it. Anyway, it's funny how the Lord will put something in my mind and go, oh, my gosh, what church was that thing at?
Yeah.
And what day is it? It's Sunday. I'm going to try and go to this church.
Are you serious? So you're making fun of it. Now you're going.
I'm going. So I'm trying to find this church. I'm in shorts and flip-flops in San Diego trying to find this Horizon. What was the name of it?
Horizon
Christian Fellowship with Mike McIntosh. Well, anyway, I found it. They walked me in, and all these happy people feeling very uncomfortable that I think they're all on drugs. The guy put me almost in the front row. This is a true story. It was greeting time, and they stand up and meet the people around you. The guy behind me shook my hand, and for some – I thought this was rude. He asked me, hi, I'm Bill. What do you do? He asked me what I did.
No way.
And I go, well, I work at a radio station. He goes, oh, that's – my friend works at a radio station. I go, what's his name? Rusty Nails. I go, oh, yeah, he's the comedian on our show. And he goes, yeah, I sent him a tape.
No.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Did you guys know that one of God's names is coincidence? You know that, right? I just thought that was weird.
Yeah.
I sat down after that and I said, how can I get out of here? Because this is, no, this is, I'm set up.
Yeah, 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 yeah. That's what
I'm
everyone thinks when God started speaking and doing stuff.
So anyway,
how they know?
I don't, where's the camera? So anyway, the message was there. Leo Giovanetti, the message, I could feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. I could feel the setup. I could feel it right now where it's just like, if you don't know the Lord and, you know, we want you to come up here. And the chair was like this. I grabbed a hold of these handles going, I know what they're doing. This is manipulation. And it's like, I am not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Brian, as God is my witness, this is what happened. I felt a hand.
Oh, sorry. Scoot up to the mic.
I felt a hand on the middle of my back push me. I actually sprang out of my
chair.
This is, and I actually stood up with a fist, at, like I'm going to hit this person.
And no one's there.
And well, they're there, but they're like they're sitting there like, what are you doing? And it's like, oh my God. So I literally came up to the altar, snot all over the ground. I gave my life to the Lord, and I surrendered. I went to the bookstore, bought the biggest, fattest Bible. It didn't have a fish on it, like your dad's. You got the fish. But I hadn't learned back. And within a year, I was going to China smuggling Bibles. I've pretty much been on fire since.
Wow. 33
years ago.
That's amazing.
Okay, you wanted to hear it.
That's amazing. That's amazing. That's how God works. And that little push, that was the... That was the Holy Spirit just pulling. You know, there's a story of my dad when he wanted to shoot the TV. When
yes.
He was writing to murder my mom and my brothers. And he was sitting there and Chuck Smith came on the television. And my dad, he had his rifle and he went to shoot it. But he could not pull the trigger. He could not pull the trigger to shoot it after he destroyed the whole house. And he's angry. That's his problem. And he's a killer because he just got out of the military.
Right.
And then all of a sudden those words start coming off the stage with Chuck Smith. And he says they felt like just like arrows of love just hitting his heart. And the Holy Spirit just encountered him, just bringing the supernatural into the natural realm. That's exactly what happened mm-hmm. to you. God got a hold of you.
Mm-hmm.
And so my question is now is what was the process though? Because a lot of people, you hear these testimonies.
Yes.
And this is what I don't like about most testimonies. Yeah, you know, I was this, and this. I got saved. I gave my life to Jesus. And the rest is history. No. There is a huge process of the refining process. John the Baptist says, someone's coming who is far greater than I am. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. We're talking about that fire refining process as you get put into the fire, like you put a sword into the fire, and it refines, it gets hot, and you pound it out with a hammer, and you keep developing and shaping that thing in this perfect piece of metal, if you will, for God to use for his work.
Okay, well, the refining process is pain. A lot of it. So I thought
why pain?
No. You'll see. And you know already. So I thought, you know, lost without Christ, and like you receive Christ and you know that he has a plan for you and you have that freedom and that peace. So there's the joy, right? Now comes the breaking. And I've got written on my hand. He takes us, he breaks us, he blesses us, and he uses us.
Yep.
We're at the breaking point right now. Well, how he got a hold of me to refine me was through two divorces. How's that? And, you know, I never wanted to get married. I never wanted to have kids. And just because I was one of these go-getters, my career was everything, I didn't even like kids. I actually didn't like men. I didn't even like women. I like dogs, okay? But for some reason, once I was a believer, I thought, well, guy, you know, kids aren't so bad. And, and you know.
I love how honest you are.
You know, it's just like, and there's that cute guy at church and a nice godly husband. So anyway, I did get married to my godly husband and I had my two kids.
Oh.
Well, guess what? Mm-hmm. How much time we have? Because I feel like I'm
We have 7 minutes till the break. And then we got a whole another 28 minutes. So
okay, guys. I'm going to do this. I actually, you know my testimony that I just gave to you?
Mm-hmm.
I like it. But my favorite part is going to come up after the break. And that is the part where I'd been married for 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And two children, my husband a CPA, but he plays bass at the church. Mm-hmm. We have a small group at home where these godly people most likely to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
And what I want to let, what I really like about this story is that I had head knowledge of God.
Right.
And I believe if I got hit by a truck, I'd be in heaven with the Lord.
Grace.
But pain
made
the 18-inch journey to my heart when part of like the sanctification, what you're just talking about.
So do you think that like when you get, because I'm just hearing what you're saying. So when you gave your life to God and you're following him, you got married.
Right.
It's like you were almost like, was like almost like religious. Like you were, you knew, you had the head knowledge of, of everything. So you were doing what the Bible said, like, okay, well, if I'm a Christian, then I'm supposed to be doing this, this, and this.
Yes.
But there wasn't like the true, and I'm not saying that you weren't saved. That's not the question. Right. But what I'm saying is like you were going through the process of what the Bible says, but you didn't have that true relationship with Christ where it was just more of like a thing of like works basically. Or what was
okay,
that?
If I was to put my finger on it, and I see a lot of people at church like this where you're going through the motions, like you're a Christian.
The motions,
now.
Yeah.
So it's like
it's a relationship, but it's not like
rigid. It's what people don't like about Christianity. It's
right.
Like you go to church and you can quote scripture
but
you're still yelling at your kids or you don't have the power. And I kind of equate it to the Holy Spirit was in me because
but you didn't always have the power of the Holy Spirit.
There was too much of Kate. There was still too much of Kate, and pain breaks you and makes you, you empties you in your need for him, and then it becomes just so real. Before it was just up in my head, and you know what the Bible even says: knowledge puffs up.
So you got the ego,
yes,
and you got God,
right?
But God, John the Baptist says he must increase and we must decrease, and there was no decrease. I've seen a lot of Christians like that, where they're still the same person they were. I've known them from not being a Christian, but then they go to church, they do all the thing, but you don't see the end. There's not really a transformation,
right?
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But they're doing all the, they're going to church,
right?
They're giving to the church, they're doing the men's conference, you know, whatever they do, but there's not a true transformation process.
Well, watch this also. You can hear from God because you're reading the word,
right?
But it's like a trickle. You see, that's all I can equate it to. It's like, oh, I hear God, but it's like a trickle. Mm-hmm. The pastor's talking, and oh, I felt the presence of the Lord. Wait till you hear after I really got slammed. Mm-hmm. I could hear him. And that will bring me into the He Speaks with Kate, my podcast, where
some people
would call us crazy. If they said, you hear God?
Yeah.
No, we do hear God. But not all Christians do hear God like we hear God.
Yeah.
You hear God when you're fully surrendered and there's more of that Holy Spirit baptism inside of you. And it happened through breaking me. And so here's this wonderful, I never wanted to get married. I told you about that. And I didn't want to have kids. But now I'm married. I have kids. I love them. But we're having problems. And my husband divorces me.
Got it. So when we were talking about that process, that breaking process, you were saying that, like, it's you can't hear God unless you get broken.
Right.
Now, what's going on is the thing is that you have to, that ego is sin.
Yes.
Ego's sin.
Yes.
So you can't hear what God's saying because there's sin that's clogging the, like, why talk about, I like to talk about this a lot when I'm speaking, is that we are like antennas,
right?
And us as believers, we have the Holy Spirit in us,
right?
And then the Holy Spirit fills us,
right?
And that's like the connection to the power from heaven, the most high-fi, right?
Oh, I love that.
The most high-fi from heaven,
that.
And then Satan brings in the lie-fi because he's the father of lies.
Excellent.
But what happens is when we have Satan or when we have sin in our life, it's almost like it blocks that G5 connection.
Right.
So you can't clearly hear what God is saying.
Oh, I love
so it. The only way you could actually hear, just like if on my phone, if I want to download my photo or a text message photo, or if I want to get my emails or text messages, I need a clear signal so I could, because like when you don't have spotty reception, you could get the text, but you're not going to get the photo. Right? You're not getting the full message. So when you have sin in your life, you're clogging the reception and you're only getting those like those little bits and pieces that you were talking about hearing from God, but you're not getting that full like here's it's almost like it's funny when you say that because you're like you're not hearing the like what God is speaking to us. Like God speaks to us and he tells us exactly what to do. Just like when you get a photo and you have the full reception, you could clearly see what is happening here, and that is the difference. And a lot of Christians end up in the situation where, you know, I almost feel kind of, you know, funny if I'm like, well, how is God speaking to you? Because they don't. They're just kind of like living the same life. They haven't really changed or anything. They're going to church and, oh, yeah, I go to church and this and that. But you don't see the transformation. It's because there's that sin that is blocking the connection. And when you block the connection, if the job of the Holy Spirit is to purge and destroy everything that is unholy in our life. But if you're blocking the connection, you're clogging the hose, you're not getting the full power of the Holy Spirit to come down and purge out and to refine you into that person that you're supposed to be.
Excellent.
But it all comes down to repenting, giving your life to God, and letting him cleanse you and being fully connected to the power from heaven. We're going to go to break in 30 seconds, but I do want to plug, go to whosoevers.com. We're booking tours. We want to come. We want to bring the gospel. We're hitting schools. We're doing concerts. What else? Anywhere there's people to bring the gospel, we're there. Go to Amazon, pick up the book, Kill the Noise, Finding Meaning Above the Madness. I don't know if you want to watch it and what's going on in the world, but it's madness. But now, if we're tuned into the Holy Spirit, God will help us kill the noise and tune into that voice, and we'll know exactly what to do at this time in history. We'll see you guys in 2 minutes right after break.
More of The Ryan Reese Show coming up. Post your questions at Ryan Reese on his Instagram, Twitter, and or Facebook. Now, back to The Ryan Reese Show.
All right, we are back in studio with Katie Mayer. Katie, right before the break, we were just talking about the refining process. Give me a life application as how, because you were saying that you were still Katie, so you still had that pride and all the stuff from the world, but you were going to church, you went through several divorces, you had kids, you did everything that would be, as you looked at, like the works of a Christian,
right?
But you had to deny yourself. Mm-hmm. John the Baptist says he must increase and we must decrease. Mm-hmm. What was the process? What took you to that point where you just decided to full surrender and let God do what he wanted to do in your life?
Well, he initiated it. So remember, let's regroup where didn't really want to get married, didn't want to have kids, but became a Christian. Now I have a beautiful husband, beautiful kids. But I damage from my past, meaning what I sowed back here. It's in your book, by the way, of sowing and reaping.
Yes.
Even though I was forgiven, there's some things that really messed with my relationship with my husband. Our style of fighting. I was in a chaotic my dad was an alcoholic. And so I actually didn't trust men. We didn't have good conflict resolution. So my marriage was on the rocks. And then we were in marriage counseling. And then he says, I'm going to divorce you. This is my Christian husband. Mm-hmm. I'm in my van on the way to our last marriage counseling. And there's a cassette in playing some music. And I don't know about you, but the Holy Spirit speaks through music with me.
Yes,
and
yes, he
it's
does.
Like it's like, Kate, listen to this song. Listen to this song. And I knew that my husband wanted to divorce me. This was our last session. And the song lyrics go like this. It was Susan Ashton. What was meant for your heart's demise will turn out to be a blessing in disguise. And it just resonated with me. I said, no, Lord. And it came around again. What was meant for your heart's demise will be a blessing in disguise. I said, no, Lord. I said, you know I didn't want a divorce. I didn't want the kids to be passed by. No, Lord. Now, guess what? He did divorce me. I was alone for many years. And I know what you're going to ask me, Ryan. You're going to say, Kate, was it a blessing?
Was it?
It became a blessing. What happened was, I think I made him an idol. And it's, you know, kill the noise is about killing idols.
Yeah.
I think I had elevated my husband above God. And what happened was, the word of God became so valuable to me more than food.
Right.
So the head knowledge went to the heart knowledge. And in the book of Job, it says, I knew of you, but now I know you. Ryan, I know God. And it came through pain. And if you were to say, Kate, if you could turn back the clock, have your husband back again with an intact family, would you take it? But you'd have to sacrifice that relationship you have with mm-hmm. Jesus right now. Mm-hmm. I'd say no. I'd go through the fire again.
Because you were just looking at him like he was an idol, and it was just all these like deeds of Christianity, but you never had that relationship.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that's lacking.
He wanted all of our hearts. He wants all of our hearts.
Yeah. It's in full surrender.
Yes.
If you want to be his disciple, you got to deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow him.
Right.
And the cross, it's a brutal place of pain and murder and blood and the sins. But once you deny and you full surrender and you allow God to work and do what he wants to do, that's when the clarity comes. And that's when the peace and the hope and the direction, and he's able to bless you. You know, it sounds so cliche, you know, God wants to bless you. I guess, you know, you read my book. I don't like talking Christianese, but he blessed my socks off or like whatever people say. But when, you know, God does want to bless you, but the true blessings literally only come when there's full surrender. You could be going through the motions, but you'll never have that peace. And you could know of him, but mm-hmm. you don't know him. And, you know, I love when you said that, like from Job, mm-hmm. you know, you quoted from Job, is there's a big difference between knowing him mm-hmm. and knowing of him.
True.
And that's what matters. So my question to you is, you know, is there anything that you want to encourage the listeners with? We yes. have about 20 minutes left.
Yes, I do. I want to encourage them, first of all, and I'm not getting paid for this. I want them to, okay. I want them hey, to get your book.
Can you guys, get rid of that check I was going to give her? Thanks.
Yeah. I want you to get the book, Kill the Noise. I knew when you, I knew I needed to read this, and I'm just going to read to you what I, the synopsis, what I wrote in the back. I said, Ryan, great job. Could not put it down. The Lord spoke to me. Little gods, no idols. Social media, phone, marriage, career, even decorating my home. Thank you. I needed to kill it. God speaks. I need to hear, ready to launch into a new season of my life. His will be done. I'm all in to serve and pray hard for my adult kids. Inspiring read, not just for believers, not for, but for old folks like me, poser bound. Get up, get out. Time is short. Trust God to do amazing things if we only trust him. Kill the noise, obey, say yes. That's why I'm here. I am here today with you because I'm pumped up. I'm. You say, Kate, you know, you're a mature woman. You're on the downside.
No,
you know,
you're on
no,
fire.
No, I want to let you know that in church and in culture, people don't really honor the aged. But I want to tell you something. I'm on fire. I was even telling Tia, I said, I'll get on the phone. I'll talk to these ABC and some churches, and I'll get this program everywhere because we need to reach the youth. Mm-hmm. The revival, the Jesus movement, yep. mm-hmm. never started in a church. Nope. It started with the youth. Yep. And you know something? You, and maybe I can only name another person that I know is really going hard after the youth, doing crazy things because God opens those doors. It's not possible in the flesh,
yep.
but you're doing it. And I think we all need to get along and use the gifts that the Lord has put in us to make that happen by his power. That's why I'm here. I'm here to encourage you mm-hmm. to say, this book encouraged me.
Awesome.
And
awesome.
And I've read tons of books. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I see them go around on talk shows and really promoting it. This is... They're promoting themselves. You are not promoting yourself. You called it a guidebook. What did you say that that was the name of your
like
show?
A, like a faith builder or a discipleship book.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
You're not promoting yourself.
No.
We need the truths. We need to see how God works. Mm-hmm. So anyway, if there was something I want to say is that the Lord downloaded on me to say, Kate, you're getting older and you see how I've worked in your life. The next generations need to see that I speak. If they would just slow down mm-hmm. and listen. So
I like that,
a few
slow
years
down.
Ago, I did. I hired this before I worked at K-Wave. I hired a producer and I got in a studio, and I started doing a podcast, and it's called He Speaks with Kate. I did about a dozen of them, and they're on YouTube. My website's not up right now because I got to do some work on it. But it's like the show's 15 minutes, 17 minutes long, and I unplanned pregnancy. That was my second yep. marriage. Say Yes, one of the chapters is just Say Yes to God. And they're raw. They're not very good, but it's like God spoke to me. This is what he did in my life, and he's doing it in your life. He speaks all the time.
Yep.
He uses the Bible, your pastor, music, circumstance, nature, spirit to spirit. He's always talking. And we just need to kill the noise mm-hmm. so we can hear him.
When you kill the noise, you're literally slowing down mm-hmm. to hear, and you're not being busy. I think we talked about being not busy at the beginning of the show. You had
acronym.
Acronym. Yeah, what was that? How's it go?
Okay, so busy. We in culture today think, oh, I'm busy.
Right.
And it we
so
we,
busy right
no,
now.
No, but it sounds good and yeah. like, oh, you're so successful if you're busy. I gotta go. In fact, can we wrap this up? I got another appointment.
Yeah.
But watch this. Busy, B-U-S-Y, being under Satan's yoke. It is not a good thing. In Screwtape Letters, Wormwood says, you know, keep those Christians busy doing good things. You know, when we're busy doing good things, mm-hmm. we can't hear mm-hmm. God. Because he's got the best for us.
Being busy is just, it's all that noise.
Yeah.
Because you're just going from one thing to another. You're not sitting down. If you want to be truly used by God, you literally have to sit still and wait and to hear him. Like, you have to be tuned into him and be in a place where you have turned off the noise around you, whether it be your cell phone, not busy texting, busy checking social media, busy checking your emails, busy just attached to your phone. That's just busyness noise coming out of that phone all day long, right? Mm. Or even with like life activities, you know, I got to go to my kid's soccer game. I got to go to the baseball game. I got to go here. We got to go here. You know, the whole pandemic thing really kind of it was like a reset for me and my wife. We're like, we have been busy doing what with, like, you know, you just going here, going there, because it's Southern California. The weather is always good and there's family around, and even just going and being with your family all the time and just making all these trips, you don't ever really get to, it's all noisy. You know what I mean? You got to really put things into perspective and really see what really matters and how you're going to spend your time. If not, you're just spinning your wheels being busy. And a lot of Christians are, you know, I could be busy. You know what I mean? We all have to take inventory on how to kill the noise and not be busy.
I want to do something.
Yeah.
How much time
we have? 14 minutes.
This is perfect. Okay. People are watching and listening right now.
Yes.
And it's fun. It's fun to watch you. And it's good to learn. But I felt like the Holy Spirit, like, especially after reading your book, are you all in?
Yeah.
Or not? And there's some people that say, yeah, I'm a church. I tithe.
Yeah.
I'm doing this. But I mean, are you still waiting for that unemployment check? Are you still, is your source still, like, if your spouse died or if God didn't bless you with this, if something was taken away? What I'm just saying is, are you all in? I said this to my husband. I've been married a year now. The Lord bless me. Awesome. A godly, godly man. And we were driving to a Blaze, a conference at Biola not too long ago. And I don't know, I just felt this urge to say, honey, because we kind of want to leave California.
Yeah.
You know, we want to go to a little bit more affordable state.
Where are you going?
I can't tell you. And so watch this. We were saying, honey, will we go? Because, like, he likes the beach.
Yeah.
And, you know, the weather.
Yeah.
And, you know, we, you know, see our little checklist here.
Yeah.
Right? Are we beach, creatures of weather. Comfort? I see know. This flesh of ours? Come on now. We're in Southern. I live in Huntington Beach. I love.
Yeah.
So watch this. I said, honey, if the Lord sent us to a place that's hot with no water and desolate or out of the United States, I said, would you say yes? And he looked at me and goes, absolutely. I mean, are we all in for him? He made us. He fashioned and formed us. I want to tell you, a few years ago, I was listening to your show on K-Wave, and I was single at the time and mad at God. And for some reason, you were talking about how the Lord, you'd slept around a lot and how the Lord had a season where he said, don't date. And of course, you met your beautiful wife.
5 years. That's hardcore.
I had like 12 years waiting. Okay,
dang.
So watch this. Watch this. I actually was listening to the radio and I said, shut up, Ryan. And I turned it off because I get so when you're going through that, I get so tired of hearing people say, you know, just wait for God's best. And when you're not looking, it'll come. Shut up. I literally said that to you.
Yeah.
And then I turned you back on.
That's what you say in those times.
And I go, I know he's right. You know, abstaining and trusting God.
Yeah.
Do you know, a couple months ago, a retreat called me up, and a singles retreat called, this is hilarious, I think, called me up and said, Kate, we want you to speak at a retreat, our singles retreat, and on how trusting God when you were single. And I said, oh, well, you know, I'm a DJ. I talk. You can tell I'm a talkative person. I think I can do this. So watch this. As I was preparing for it in prayer, I saw how inadequate I was. And are you ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, you guys, this is when you hire me for speaking. This is what you're going to get, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not a polished speaker. I got on the stage and I said, so you're here to hear about how to trust God when you're single. I go, I didn't. I was angry and mad. sad and sad.
And everyone related.
And God, where are you? And so they jaws dropped. I looked over at the gal that was playing things. She's going like, oh, my gosh. She's out of control. And so then I brought it around to, but how did I learn to trust God?
Yeah.
By listening to him and seeing how faithful he is. And so you've got people that are listening right now saying, yeah, Kate, I'm tired of being alone. Yeah, Kate, I want that break. There's musicians that say, I know I've got a gift that God's put in me, but it's taking so long. Do you trust him?
Yeah.
Are you fully surrendered to him?
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. Can we pray?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. We have 10 more minutes.
Okay. Then we'll save it for the end.
We're gonna pray in about 5 or something like
okay.
that. But with what you were just saying about, you know, there's those musicians and or just people are just waiting for that wife or that husband, that girlfriend, the career, whatever it is, they're just praying.
Healing.
Kids,
healing. There are people right now that have mental, like bipolar and this pandemic jacked as we're popping pills because we can't even get out of bed.
Yeah.
I want healing.
Yeah. All these different things. And these are all things that we have to wait on God. And we know that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he's still working the same as he has since the beginning of time. He's always been God. He can do whatever he wants. But there's seasons that he takes us through in these wilderness experiences. And in the wilderness, he's building your spiritual muscles to grow you. Because to survive in the wilderness, you have to learn how to survive. It's hot. It's dry. There's lack of water. There's windstorms. There's rain. There's the hot, burning sun. You know, you get weathered out there. But what I've learned is that God takes us through these seasons, and sometimes you feel like he's not even speaking to you. Mm-hmm. But what I've seen is that when you go through these seasons of wilderness experience, what God is doing is he's building you, he's strengthening you, he's working out those spiritual muscles, and he's forming you into this vessel that he wants to use you for in this next season. It's like it's like a book when you go through different chapters in your life.
Yeah.
Each chapter of your life is a different season. Some seasons are longer. It's just like when it rains here in California. If it rains like 4 days in a row, we're like, that was crazy. What are we going to do? It's raining, you know, or, you know, if it rains a day or whatever it is, you know, my point is these different seasons, we go through them and they stink. They stink. I told you before the show, I went through this really hard, hard season in my life and I'm still shaking from it a little bit, but God takes us through these seasons because he wants to keep advancing us and he's going to bring more. It's a time of stretching you and growing you because then he's strengthening you and expanding your capacity for what's next in your life. And it's all about being expanded for these next seasons, these next things he wants to do in your life. And also when it comes to dating and stuff, God has to prepare us, you know, like I didn't even know how to treat girls, correctly, before, how could I date a girl when I just looked at them like sex objects?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like never didn't really date girls. I always had girlfriends, but never had like a relationship. Never even knew what that was like. It was just more of like sleeping around stuff. But God had to show me who I was in Christ so I could respect not only myself and the way I act, but then in return, I know how to respect a woman.
Excellent.
And et cetera. So don't get burned out on God. God sees you. And if you're bitter and you're angry at God during these single times, welcome to the club. It happens. But God is doing something in you before he can do something through you. But if he doesn't get the job done in you, then why is he going to bring someone to you when you're not ready and you can't even handle her or him?
True.
That whole thing will go sour.
We have to trust him. At the conference for the singles, I did say, get rid of your checklist. Yes, a believer, Christian, hopefully they have a job. Third is that...
You know Adam had a job, right? That was his first thing, job. Adam, his job was to name all the animals.
That's right.
He had a job before his wife came.
And he was a gardener. Wasn't he really good?
Yeah.
So, but watch this. This is the third component about, okay, so get rid of the checklist. Because
a
lot of us have these, you know, you want the Barbie doll and I wanted the, you know, whatever. So... get rid of the checklist. People are listening right now. They're perked up right now. They're leaning in. Have you ever asked God to choose your mate? I had a broken picker. So guess what? Have you ever just trusted God enough to say, okay, Lord, you fashioned and formed me. So I'm going to let you choose. And the third component is very important. Sometimes like 12 years, Kate, you were single for 12 years. Why? And I felt like the Lord was tapping me on the shoulder saying, Kate, I'm waiting for you. And you know what he was waiting for me to do? I worked the 12 steps for codependency of Celebrate Recovery, the mm-hmm. Christ-centered recovery group.
Yep.
And it was like, oh my gosh, I would have destroyed this marriage. But I had to see what my leaning was, what my, you know, from childhood, what was going wrong. So there's some things. You might have the porn problem, eating disorder. You might yep. have some anger management. God wants to heal you before he brings that person to you.
Yeah, you don't want to take all that crap into your relationship.
Right.
I mean, think about that. I mean, what a disaster waiting to happen, you
right.
know? But that's why that's that going back to the beginning of the show, at the end of the show of the first half, you're talking about the refining process.
Yes.
Get refined, and that only happens through the work of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
So we have time to pray now.
Okay,
we have five. We have 5 minutes.
Well, your shirt says "Pray Hard."
That's
and
right.
I just really, really want to pray. I want to pray for people, the divine appointment of watching and listening. That maybe something in their heart prick them to say, I want what you have, or I want what I see that I'm missing something.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been fearful to go all in because I'm afraid God won't catch me or provide for me. And so, Father God, I'm just going to pray for that person right now. Your Holy Spirit is a gentleman. You don't push and shove. You're so gentle. It's your goodness that brings men to repentance. And it starts with that. No other idols. I just said that last night before I went to bed. I said, Lord, forgive me for being fearful. Forgive me for looking for a job. Forgive me for not trusting you completely. Yes, you can look for a job, but come to God first before you pick up that, you know, job opportunities. Father God, you are big and you are good. And we want to say at this juncture in the show right now, we are all in. Help us. I almost feel like, you know, and wasn't it, who's the one in the Bible that says, help me with my unbelief? Whatever you've got, whatever faith that you have, small as a mustard seed, Father God, we are all in.
Yeah. And
we say yes to you.
I would add that those ones that are actually just listening right now mm-hmm. and they want to encounter God,
yes.
you know, the thing you have to do is just invite him in. You just have to ask him him to forgive you of your sins and just realize that you're a sinner, that we all are sinners. And this is why he came. Out of eternity, God the Father sent his Son out of eternity to planet Earth to die on the sins of the world, and that by believing us as whosoever would believe by faith that he is the Son of God, he died on the cross and raised from the dead, that through the belief system in that, by faith, believing in what you don't see, that immediately he will forgive you of all your sins, everything you've ever done. As Katie was talking at the beginning of the show about there's things in her past that she just couldn't forgive herself of, that you would be forgiven of all that. And then he would implant the person, which is the Holy Spirit, inside of you. And at that time, that's when the connection, the power from heaven turns on. And now you're like a piggyback, you're like a antenna piggybacking off the power in communicating with the God of the universe, where when you read his Bible and you read those words, it's his voice. He's speaking to you, and he's able to download messages into your mind, into your heart, give you promptings. He is the key. God has the key to every door in the universe. So he will lead and guide you. He will be a lamp to our feet, and then he will open the doors he wants you to go through. He will close the ones you don't want to, that he doesn't want you to go through. And he will give you peace and rest. And the scripture says, come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you peace and rest for your soul. There's a lot of you guys that are dealing with stress and anxiety, fear, unforgiveness, bitterness, and all these different things. God will come. He's come to set the captives free. He will set you free. He will heal you spiritually, and he will remove that stuff from within you. And as you continue to read the Bible, you continue to pray and talk to him, he will continue to transform you 1 second at a time. Because the Bible says, he will make all the old things pass away in your life and make all things become brand new. And Katie across from me is a perfect illustration of that verse. Any last words? We have about a minute left.
Yeah. My life verse came to me while you were praying, and I want to share it. And it's a popular one. It's Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Mm-hmm. That means his rule and reign in your life. Mm-hmm. And all these things will be added unto you. So I want to say thank you, Ryan. I hope to see you again. I know the whosoever's. I'm praying for you. If you're a parent or a grandparent, if you've got a high school age child, I see you busting out more than ever. The world's getting darker. And guess what? God is just looking for someone to use to be available. And we say yes to him.
I'm excited. I cannot wait. I feel like God is ready to do something big coming out of this pandemic. I think the world's shaken up. And now the light shines bright in the darkness. And we are surrounded by darkness. And now it's time for God to pour out his spirit once again and more powerful than he ever has in the greatest revival before the king comes back to get his people. So these are the most exciting times to be living in. Mm-hmm. Thank you for being on the show. I was excited when I heard that we were going to be able to make this thing happen. And we got to do some more shows. It'll be awesome. Thanks for having me.
Take care.
Bye.
This has been The Ryan Reese Show. To connect and find out more about Ryan, click on ryan-reese.com. Check us out next Saturday at 9 p.m. for The Ryan Reese Show.
Feeling stressed? Let's take better care of you. I'm Bonnie Gray, the host of Breathe, the Stress Less podcast. Subscribe at lifeaudio.com.